Father, we thank you because you are awesome indeed. Day after day after day, we see your hand at work in our lives, in our midst. We see so many things that cannot be explained by human ingenuity, human intelligence, and human cleverness. But Lord, we see that it is the doing of the Lord.
Amen.
That it is the hand of God at work in our lives. And so we continue to declare that our God is awesome.
Amen.
That you can move mountains. That you can lift valleys.
Oh, yes.
That you can make a way in the wilderness.
Amen.
You're our protector. You are our provider. You have been greater at looking after us than we have been at looking after ourselves. And Lord, we thank you. We pray this afternoon, Lord, that you open up the word to us. Grant us an entrance into the word and cause us to learn, cause us to grow. May we be fed this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Amen.
Wonderful and amazing Eden. Okay. All right. Today I am starting to share with you from the art of ministry, isn't it? The art of ministry, because we are just entering into another or just starting another Vision 527 season. And yes, and Vision 5, I love Vision 527, frankly, because, excuse me, please. All right. Amen. It's a blessing, and we're blessed to be in a church that has books. You know, we're blessed that has preachings and timeless teachings that can go around, that we can share with others, that other churches, other ministries can benefit from.
Amen.
You know, and which will be around for our children and our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Also to teach from and be guided and be helped by. You know, I think that God has given our ministry a very great reach. Amen?
Amen.
By giving us these amazing books and teachings. Amen. Right. So this season we're learning the art of ministry, which is basically how to work for God. Amen.
Amen.
How to work for God. How to be successful at giving yourself and working for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're successful at working for God, you will be able to work for any man. Because it's always harder to work for someone you can't see. Do you see? It's harder to work for someone. How do you even know he's happy with you? Do you see what I'm saying? That's why God says that if you claim to love him and don't love someone you see, then you're a liar. He doesn't even believe you for one second if you say you love him and you hate your neighbor. And he says the simple test is, how can you love God that you don't see when you don't love your neighbor whom you can see? You know, when you love your neighbor whom you can see, it's supposed to be easier, because when you love somebody and the person appreciates the love when you're doing the right thing, you can see even from their face that they're happy with you. But when you're loving a God you can't see, how do you even know that he's happy with you? You see, and it's the same thing when it comes to working for him. Hallelujah. And so throughout this study, I believe that we're going to be learning things that will be greatly helpful to us in our greatly helpful to us, even in our secular work lives. Amen. Right? God is the ultimate person to work for, and all of us must desire that one day we'll get to work for God fully. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And working for God doesn't just mean being paid by a church or something like that. Do you see? Full-time ministry is giving yourself, you know, wholly to his cause and his purpose, regardless of your source of income.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? I think at the camp, Bishop was demonstrating to us, do you remember when Pastor Ernest came up? You know, Pastor Ernest is not paid by the church. Pastor Ernest is a pharmacist who, you know, works as a pharmacist over there in Nicaragua and just works for God. And that's when Bishop was saying, this is full-time ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, full-time ministry is when you give yourself fully to something. You go to a place because of what you believe and try to live there and survive there, or, you know, work for God over there, regardless of who pays you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And that is the highest way to serve God. All right. Then when we can't have the opportunity to serve God in that way, then eventually breaks down to, you know, working for someone who pays you, some secular job that keeps you and that allows you to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Right. So anyway, we'll be learning different things and we'll be going backwards and forwards throughout the book. Amen. This afternoon and in this service, I want to start with chapter 4 to share with you from chapter 4, 10 types of workers. 10 types of workers. 10 kinds of workers. Hallelujah. Right. So number one, workers who are sons and daughters. Do we all have the book?
Yeah.
We don't. Right. So Elpak, do we have some books to make available to people? Oh, these. All right. So here, $5, and you have one.
We're done. Yeah. Is that it? Oh, okay.
And then can you ask one?
Here's another
one. It's a blessing, amen. And if you know someone who is a pastor, you know, you have a friend who is a pastor, buy a book like this and bless them. Amen. Just, I believe it's going to change their lives and it will change their ministries. It will help them greatly. Amen. All right. So 10 types of workers. 10 types of workers. Now, in talking about 10 types of workers, I want you to understand that our context is the house of God. Okay, but generally speaking, anybody who works well in the house of God is likely to work well for their boss or wherever they work. Do you see what I'm saying? So 10 types of workers doesn't just mean who you can be in the church, but also how to work where you work. Amen. A lot of people are not successful secularly because they just don't work well. Do you see? There's an art to working also. There is a way to work. Do you understand? There's a way to work in order to attract favor and in order for the blessing of whatever you are doing to come upon you in a certain way. Do you understand? God, one of the primary ways that God blesses us is through the work that we do. The work that you wake up every morning and go to, you see, is one of the surest ways that God will bless you. You see what I'm saying? And so how can we work successfully and be blessed? Number one type of worker is a worker who is a son or a daughter. Workers who are sons and daughters. Workers who are sons and daughters. Philippians 2:22. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me. He has served with me in the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about one of his helpers, Timotheus. Hallelujah. Timothy. And Paul described, you know, if you go to Philippians chapter 2, let's read Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. All right? Verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Do you understand? Why will he naturally care for your state? He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. You see, now watch out, because in this verse, there is a revelation about why people are not successful. Do you get it? Right? It says, all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's, even though they are working for Christ.
Wow.
Do you see? And he says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Hallelujah. Right. Now, the apostle is explaining why Timothy is his favorite choice for sending to these Philippians. And he said, because I don't have anybody who will naturally care for your state. You see, I don't have anybody to whom this job or this work comes naturally.
Wow.
Someone who does it, not as a job, but that's what he would do. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And Paul says, which means there are other people. You see, and there were clearly other people. And by saying in verse 21, that all seek their own, means that he has just checked from person to person to person to person.
Wow.
And he realizes that all of these people, they are around, but they seem to be around for their own personal interests. See, let me tell you that your secular unbelieving employer has the same mentality as Apostle Paul. And he's looking, and he makes a distinction between people who are just there for a salary, but who have a mind of their own thinking about something else, and then those who have taken the job or who have, you know, sort of applied themselves to what they are doing, embrace the work, and have taken it personally. Do you understand? Such that the person will naturally work, not for. It says naturally work means the job is like nature to him. Do you understand? The things people do naturally, they often don't do for rewards. Anything you do naturally, no, like nobody pays you to go to the bathroom. Do you see what I'm saying? You will go to the bathroom whether there is a pay or not. There's nothing like, okay, if you go there, the longer you stay there, then your paycheck rises. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you go there, the long stay people get richer, and the short stay people get poorer. No. There's nothing like that. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Say amen if you understand me. Yes. So anything you do naturally, like when you say somebody naturally smiles, usually there's no reward for it. The person is not smiling for any particular reward. They're just being themselves. Do you understand? They're just being themselves. And Paul said that I have this one guy. This one guy. Do you understand? And he will naturally care for you. I don't even have to say it. It's his nature to care for you. It's his nature to care. And he said that everybody else is different. Everybody is looking out for himself. And so when they care for rewards. They care for what they will get out of it. Do you understand? And he, Paul, as the boss, he's observing it and he can see. Sometimes employees don't realize that the boss can see. Do you understand? That the boss is looking. But Paul was saying that, look, I can see. And I can tell the difference between this guy, Timothy, and this other person, and that other person, and that other person. And so the one I'm sending to you is Timothy. So don't be surprised if you work somewhere and you see there's a particular person, he's always being sent. Always being sent abroad. Always being sent to do errands. And you wonder, why don't they send me? Do you understand? If you were in Timothy and Paul, if you were in this group, you might be very jealous of Timothy. Do you understand? That all the trips abroad seem to come to Timothy. Anytime there was something important to do somewhere, they would choose Timothy. And you wonder, but what about the rest of us? What about the rest of us? And Paul said, it's because when I look at the rest of the people, they all seem to be seeking their own, not the things which are Christ, which is that they work for Christ, but they don't seek the interest of Christ. Is what I'm saying, is it helpful to you? Yes. And Paul said the reason why Timothy is like that is because in this job, he works in this place like a son is working with his father.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not working here as an employee. Do you understand? He's working like a son with his father. I want to suggest to you that you change the mode of your operation even at your secular job. Hallelujah. Change the way you work and start working as a son with his father. See, if you are a son working for your father, you're not looking, anything that concerns your father concerns you. Do you understand? There's nothing like, well, I've done my job. You know, if this thing goes down, well, it's not me. Do you understand? But a lot of employees have that mentality. Now, if this thing goes down, it's going down. It's not me. You get it? I'm just doing my part. What am I supposed to do from here to here? I just do my job from here to exactly here, and I'm off. Yeah. There are people who clock out. Even the next person to take over has not arrived. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I've done my job. I've just earned my paycheck, and I'm out of here. You get it? And if they don't come, it's their fault. See, a lot of people seek their own, not the thing. In this case, Christ is the owner of the business, if you like. Do you understand? And all these people are working. Paul said that these people, they are not seeking the interest of Christ. Do you get it? Paul was one of the managers. One of the supervisors of Jesus Christ's company. Do you see? Yeah. And he says, out of all the people I look after, Timothy is different because he has taken this thing like his son is working for his father. He has no interest to see the work go down. He has no mind to see the work, you know, sort of decline. He has no interest like that. He wants to see this thing go up. He wants to see this thing do well. So for him, it comes to him naturally. Just to care for your state. Because he's a son. And he has the same care as the father would have for what we are doing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Become a son at your workplace. I said, become a son at your workplace. You know, I met this pastor during the camp. And he was sharing with me. Because he was working for a certain man who is now dead. And he was sharing with us how the latter end, you know, the man suddenly discovered that he had a kind of cancer, a very aggressive kind, you know. and the boss shared it with him that this is the situation, you know, and he took this guy like a son, you know, and he asked the guy, do you know someone we can go to, or we can go abroad or something like that? And the person said, yes, I do. And the person actually said, oh, I have a friend who is a doctor, referring to Pastor Lindsay. Wow. In Memphis. Yeah. So the guy called Pastor Lindsay, and Pastor Lindsay arranged with some hospital and so on for this guy to come for treatment and all that. And then the man asked him, then why don't you just go with me? That if I bought you a ticket and all that, can we go together? And the guy took him and went with him, and they came to stay in Memphis, and they did all his treatment and everything. And, you know, he was saved from the cancer, at least for a little bit. He died later, but from something else, you know. But at least he was saved from the cancer. Do you understand? Now, as he died, this person has now become a very important person in the man's business. Yeah, it's become, because the business has now transferred to the man's children. You see, and the man's children do recognize that this is the person that took care of our father, that related with him like any one of us. But the pastor was telling me how, even because he had learned how to massage people professionally. He had learned, gone to school to learn how to massage people. You see, and he said that even the boss used to call him and to, when he was sick, that he would give him a massage somewhere or something like that and just try to. I mean, that's an employee, you see what I'm saying, who has now become a son. So now when we're about to have the camp, the guy works now for the man's daughter. You see, he works now, the man's daughter who has inherited the business is now the guy's boss. You see, but the guy is now a son. So even though school was in session, he told the daughter, you know, he needs to go to America for this camp meeting. Very important. He has to be there. And then he just left. Wow. You see the thing? And they allowed him to come. Because when you become a son, you see, you are now related with in a different way. You see, the whole relationship changes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's very common for Christians to say, this is an unbeliever. This is an evil man. Do you understand? How can he be so evil when your livelihood actually depends on him? Are you following what I'm saying? Someone who feeds you, the one through whom you pay your rent, how can he be so evil? He must even be a blessing of God to you, isn't it? He must be a blessing from God. Even for him to be the source of your income, the way you live actually depends on him. It's actually your blessing. Can I have an amen? Amen? So let us become sons. You can become a son and you can become a daughter to whoever you work with. And of course, in the church, you can work as a son or a daughter. What do you think? It says there are people who work in the ministry as sons and daughters of the ministry. Such people live and work as though they are in a family business. They do not have the usual employee attitude. They are more of family members. Also, such people do not have the usual, I'm here for what I can get attitude. I find that many difficulties are eliminated by working with sons and daughters. You will probably enjoy working with your father more than you with your boss. In reality, not all workers in full-time ministry are sons and daughters of the ministry. Some are simply good people who want to work for God. Hallelujah. So let us work like sons and daughters. If you're a son, a rebuke is not the end of your life in the workplace. Do you understand? If you're a son, loyalty is not an issue with you. It just comes naturally. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're a son, if you're a daughter, those issues don't become a problem. Hallelujah. But if you're an employee, then that is different. Are you getting it? I pray that God will make us sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Wow. All right. Number two is workers who have the same spirit as the leader. workers who have the same spirit as their leader. As the leader. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. He said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Wow. He said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Right? So again, Paul has sent somebody, isn't it? He sent Titus and a brother, isn't it? And he's asking, did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Right? So we are talking about people who have the same spirit as the leader. Amen. You must have the same spirit as the leader. Hallelujah. Amen. We must have the same spirit as our pastor and as our father of this church. What do you think? He says there are people who work in the ministry, but they have a different spirit from their leader. It is a blessing to find people who work with you with the same spirit. Paul was not in the ministry for financial gain. And he found in Titus someone with the same spirit. You do not need to stay long in the ministry to find out that people work in the ministry for different reasons. What a blessing it is to find someone who will work with you in the ministry with the same spirit. Hallelujah. Let's have the same spirit. Amen. How do you get the same spirit? You get the same spirit by listening more and more to the leader.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As you listen to the messages preached by the leader, because everybody's heart is in the messages that he preaches. Everybody's heart is revealed in what he preaches. The Bible teaches that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you examine what the mouth has said, you know what is in the heart. Hallelujah. And so everybody's messages reveal his heart. And when you listen to the messages of our leader and listen to the messages of our pastor, you start to see where his heart is. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you are outside, that's why the worst person you should listen to is the one who just maybe read a comment from a newspaper and forms a judgment about who our leader is or what the church is about. That's the worst person to listen to. You. That's the thing you shouldn't even consider at all. That's the one who knows nothing about what he's saying. A person is not revealed by a statement that he makes in one preaching that you listen to for about 5 minutes. Are you getting what I'm saying? But those of us who continue to listen to him and continue to spend time with his messages and continue to listen to message after message and have camp meetings with him and so on and so forth, you start to understand the person in a way that others don't, because he's revealed to you in a way that he's not revealed to other people. Do you see what I'm saying? And you begin to see the heart of the person. And you start to see what the ministry stands for. You start to see what the person stands for. And that spirit is the same spirit that you must also have. Amen. Anyone who is working for God in this Lighthouse Chapel must also have the same spirit. Amen. Our church is not about money. We are not trying to make money. Like Paul said, we're not trying to make a gain out of people. This is not a profit-making venture. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not a problem. Yes, we watch our expenses and we watch our things, but it's because we want to get more done. We want to get more done. We don't want to waste our money. We don't want to waste the resources that God has given us. And that's why we watch all these things. But it's not a profit and loss type of thing. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And we must have the same spirit. When you work for someone, you have to have the same spirit as the person. Have the same heart as the person. If the person has a good heart, have the same spirit as the person. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Number three, Workers who work for you because they owe their whole life to you. Right? That's also another type of worker. Someone who works for you because he recognizes that he owes his whole life to you. Amen. He owes his whole life to you. Now, Philemon chapter 1, verse 19. Philemon chapter 1, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. All right. Okay. Let's go back a little bit. Let's read, let's say, from 17. Let's read from verse 17. All right. If thou count me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. All right. Then the next one. Okay. If he has wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Okay. Who is Paul talking about? We'll go back a little bit. Okay. Onesiphorus, isn't it? The brother with a long name. All right. Onesimus. Onesimus. Okay, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. All right, next one. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to me and to thee and to me. Okay, so some time ago he was useless to you. You see, Paul is probably referring to someone that Philemon fired. You see, and he's saying that, you know, I'm begging you, you know, on account of this brother. I know that some time ago, he was useless to you. You see, he was some way and you had to let him go. But now he's profitable both to me and to you. Do you see the thing? He has changed. He has changed. People change. People change. Hallelujah. I see you changing in the name of Jesus. Wow. He says that he's profitable to thee and to me. Then the next verse, right? Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is my own bowels. Verse 13. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Okay. Next one. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Do you understand what he's saying? Yeah? He's saying that I would have kept him, you know, to do what you would do. You see, but, you know, I wouldn't do it without your permission, or, you know, because I want your opinion, because I don't want to do anything so that whatever good is coming out of it is as though it's being forced on you. You see, it's a nice pastor, isn't it? Yeah, but that you're willing, all right? So the next one, verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. Wow. All right? Okay. See, you have to learn to talk for people. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, that was a blessing. Verse 16. Now, it's not now as a servant, but above a servant. You have to receive him not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So you have to receive him as someone who is special to me. So next time someone sends someone to you who is special to them, you have to know how to handle them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, you have to know how to handle them. By the grace of God. Amen. That is why you should be careful how you treat people, because you'll never know when one word from that person will make a difference for you. Do you see what I'm saying? That person may speak a word somewhere on your behalf, and that may change everything about how you are received. Say amen. Amen. Right. Next one, verse 17. Verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Right? Then verse 18. He says that if he has wronged thee, that means if there are still some pending issues. Do you get it? Or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Do you see? Put that on my account. Then verse 19. Verse 19. I, Paul, have signed it. I've written it with my own hand that I will repay it. Do you get it? So whatever he has done to you, you put it on my account and I will make it up to you. Isn't it? Then he says, and by the way, albeit I do not say, I'm not going to mention to you, you know, how you yourself, you owe me your own life. Let's not even go there. Says I won't even begin to talk about that. You see, let's just say that it's just about this Onesimus and that he is the only bad guy in the world. He's the only one I've had to put up with. And, you know, but let's forget about you. That don't forget that you yourself, if it wasn't for me, you would not be who you are. Hey, when we are dealing with people, we must remember. Do you understand? Sometimes you see that someone's life is now in your hands. But you must always also remember how that your own life was also in someone's hands at some point. That if it wasn't for someone, you would also not be who you have become. If someone had not made a way for you, if someone had not opened their home to you, if someone had not given you a chance to stay with them even at the beginning. See, because later on when things change, sometimes you can forget the beginning and what it was like. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you must remember. You must remember how someone helped you. Someone gave you a ride. Someone picked you up to work and from work when you didn't know even where the bus stop was. Or even how to take the bus, even if you knew where the bus stop was. You see what I'm saying? Everybody has a beginning. you can see the bus. You see the bus stop. You know, you don't know how to take the bus. You see the thing? Yeah. You don't know how to. You're stopping the bus, isn't it? Yeah. When you just came, you thought you would just stop by the roadside. And then as the bus is coming, you start to, you know, you just flag it to stop. And the driver doesn't stop and you are shocked. Ah, is that how it is over here? Yeah. Or you see the taxi coming and then you do this. This means dropping.
Wow.
Oh, you see one person sitting in the taxi. Oh, is it their space? It's like, but why didn't the taxi driver won't stop? He won't add me. You get it? Because where I come from, when there's space, the driver will stop. But there's only one person in the cab and he didn't stop. You must remember. Hallelujah. So there are people who work. He says there are people who work for you because they owe their whole life to you. Do you understand? And in the church, there are people who work because they know they owe their whole lives to the church. Hallelujah. Not that the church is your life in a certain sense, but you know that the way it is all through your association with the church. The people you met in the church, the blessings, the teachings, the pastor's help, connections, introductions, so many things have all worked together to make you who you have become. Can I have an amen? Amen. And then sometimes also you may have even a secular boss, you know, to whom also you owe your whole life. You see, and you know, you should not be too proud to acknowledge your dependence on someone. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you do not acknowledge your dependence on someone, people will also not acknowledge their dependence on you. Do you see what I'm saying? Look, in life, you will realize that not everybody has a great gift that others can feed off. It's just like that. You, when you grow up a bit more, I'm assuming that I'm the oldest person in the church. Do you understand? Right? So I've been around for a long time. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm showing you that, look, when you grow up enough, you see, you get to a place and you start to realize that there are people in life with gifts. People that God has gifted somehow, and out of whose lives emanate jobs and opportunities for people. It's just like that. Do you see what I'm saying? There are people that God gives very bright ideas. No, God doesn't give a bright idea to everybody. Or even if God gives a bright idea to everybody, not all bright ideas have the same value. Do you get it? There are some people whose bright ideas create jobs and jobs and jobs and jobs for people like Steve Jobs. No, don't think about it. Do you understand? You have to recognize that Steve Jobs is just a human being. But you see, sometimes when you look at what people have been able to accomplish, you should be able to recognize the supernatural element in what they are doing, whether they serve God or not. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that God causes his rain to fall upon the righteous and the unrighteous. God blesses unrighteous people with wisdom. If God was waiting for only Christians to have the wisdom, I mean, by now we'll still be walking. If you want to go from here to Africa, you better start walking. That's if you plan to spend Christmas there this year. You have to start in January. Yeah.
Wow.
You need 2 years of work. 1 year to get there and the second year to get back.
Wow, you're preaching.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. A lot of these great inventions are invented by unbelievers, even people who say there is no God. You see, but God doesn't need human beings to acknowledge him to be God. Do you understand? Yeah, you don't need human beings. Even you as a human being, I mean, Dr. Lord, do you think you need your son to acknowledge you as the father to be his father? He doesn't even have to agree that you are the father. He doesn't even have to agree. You are who you are. Yeah. If there's anything at all, he is going to grow up to come and understand it. Not you growing up to understand that you are not the father. No, no. That's not how it's going to work. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, God is like that, right? And God has blessed many people with gifts and wisdom. You look at some of these musicians. You look at one ordinary person, and then he makes an album. And the album that he makes creates jobs and jobs and jobs, from those who make the CD to the guy who mixes it, to the guy who sells it. You see it in stores. He gives jobs to interviewers. Just one person who made one album. Yeah. It's just like that. And you have to accept that there are people like that.
Yeah.
Are you following what I'm saying? You have to accept that there are people who are gifted, that God gives gifts to men. And there are people who are so exceptionally gifted, and their lives just create blessings. God told Abraham, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. You get it? Don't be ashamed to acknowledge it when God has placed someone, God has blessed someone whose life becomes a blessing for you. Out of his blessing, you live. Out of his blessing, you find something to do. Out of his blessing, you find a life. Out of his blessing, you find your ministry. Out of his blessing, you find your gift. Out of his blessing, your gift finds some use. But often we are too proud to acknowledge those kinds of things. We like to think of ourselves as self-made people. Do you get it? Yeah. Self-made people. Is there any such thing as a self-made person who is walking on the ground that he didn't make? Do you understand? Somebody is standing on ground, the earth, the ground, the floor, the ground that you didn't make, declaring that you are a self-made man. Do you understand? Why don't you make your own ground to start with? Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you this afternoon? So don't be ashamed to acknowledge it. And when God places such a person in your life, and sometimes the person you work for is such a person that God has given ideas to him. He's opening up businesses, doing things. And out of that, you are getting a job. Do you understand? You are getting a job. And the more he dreams, the better your future looks. You need him to dream. Yes. Amen. You should not be ashamed to pray for such people. See, don't think that he's an unbeliever and therefore you must not pray for him. Because when he stops dreaming, you are also finished. But you see that you have this boss who has ideas all the time, who has some new ideas all the time. And he comes and says, we are now going to do this. Sometimes in just saying, we are now going to do this, you have now become a manager of something new. Do you understand? We are now going to open a new branch in such a place. Suddenly you have become a manager of a new branch. See, your greatness actually depends on his dreams. You see what I'm saying? So there will always be people to whom you owe your life. You owe your life to this person. This person is the one who has blessed you, through whom that you have found your place, even in life and in the ministry. A lot of us pastors in the Lighthouse owe our lives to Bishop Dag. Do you understand? And that should not be an issue of discussion at all, or something that is difficult to say, or that you say in some half and half way that, you know, well, okay, Bishop Dag, you know, he's also anointed, but, you know, by the grace of God, we also have some our own anointings and other things. Because one day I was speaking to somebody and I was trying to tell him that, Lucy, if it wasn't for your pastor, you would not be a pastor. And he immediately told me, what I'm saying is not true. Yeah. And I felt sorry for him. You see, because I was telling him, that man is the man. He's the one who laid hands on you. We were all there. We saw it. He's the one who appointed you. He says, from now on, you're a pastor. You know, and he from then he ordained you also and made you a reverend minister. Today you go around Reverend so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. I mean, it's a name he gave to you. Yeah, it's a name he gave to you. It is fantastic. You see, recently somebody named their child and gave them the child a certain name. And I was just thinking about how names originate. That somebody who is so fond of you gives you a certain name and it becomes your name. Do you understand? I mean, it's right there. You can see that you cannot actually turn against that person at any point in your life. You think about it. If you turn against that person, it can affect you. Because even the name you have, the label, that your name is your label. You see what I'm saying? It's the label you've worn across your life. And somebody just gave, maybe when your mother gave birth to you, Wendy was the finest name she could find at the time. You get it? At the time, it was the name. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, I saw her name and I was telling my wife, her name is Gwendolyn. That's a really nice name. Gwendolyn. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? What would make a person name her child Gwendolyn? Except that you're trying to do something unique. You're trying to do something very special. Like the baby you have, even before the baby arrives, the baby is so special to you that you're starting to think, what shall I call her? Then somebody comes around and says, let's call her Mary. And say, oh, no, I don't want Mary. Mary is like a name in a storybook. Say, no, I don't want a name like that. Then you start to think, you want to have something that is unique. You know, if you're called Mary, I'm sorry, I don't mean... All right. Please. Is Mary your middle name? Ini Mary Bond. Listen, you see, you're trying to do something unique, something special. Then you think of names. Someone brings Patricia, you say no. Someone thinks Felicia, you say it's too common. Someone says Jane, you say, huh? Jane? No. Then you say, I have an idea. Name. What is the name? Gwendolyn. As soon as you mention it, everybody goes, wow. Yeah. So even your name itself shows that you're somebody's pet. Do you understand? You represent somebody's love. You're an object of someone's affection. Someone wanted you to be so special. They named you Gwendolyn. Hey, you cannot just turn against such a person at any point in your life without consequences. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there are people, you will always owe your life to someone. There will always be someone that you look back at and say, I owe my existence to this person. I owe this part of my life to this person. If it wasn't for this person, I would never have gone here. I would never have been this. I would never have known about this. I would never have become what I've become. And don't be ashamed to acknowledge it, because not everybody has a bright idea. God didn't say to every single person, I'll bless you to be a blessing. But to Abraham, he told him, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you'll be a blessing. And you see, the people that followed Abraham, like his nephew Lot, they were blessed because of Abraham. And the blessing, Lot was rich. According to Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says Abraham was rich and Lot also. Let me show you that verse quickly, just since we're there. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, quickly, please. All right. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Can you see that? Then verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. That is your story in Jesus' name. Can you see that? Then verse 3. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Then verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Then verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham. Everybody say, which went with Abraham? Which went with Abraham. Right? He also had flocks and herds and tents. Can you see that? So there are some people who also become rich because of who they are going with. Are you getting what I'm saying? This Lot... God never called Lot. You don't see at any point, even throughout the whole thing, you don't see God actually speaking to Lot. You see what I'm saying? But God spoke to someone else and Lot went with the person. You understand? And then that person became very rich. And so Lot also, which went with him, also became rich. You have to watch who you go with. Because this could easily, if which went with Abraham was somebody else, which went with who? Judas. Yeah. Or the other guy, what's the name of Abigail's husband? Nabal. You see, which went with Nabal, for example. Immediately, it can change also this. It can change this. Which went with Nabal? Also had what? Problems, heart attacks, sickness, poverty, and many diseases, and sudden death. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So in life, whether we like it or not, we're going to see. You see, anybody who is an employee works for an employer. Do you understand? And in life, you see that there are more employers than employees. No, the other way around. There are more employees than employers. And an employer, one person who creates something, is able to assemble so many other people together and give them a life because of what he has created. And that's the way life goes. Hallelujah. May God make you one of those blessed ones who will bring life to many people in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? All right. Number 4. Workers who are prone to abandoning you. That's another type of worker. A person who is prone to abandoning you. All right. So workers who are prone to abandoning you. For Demas has forsaken me. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Right? Every ministry has a Demas. Demas is the minister or employee who abandons ship in the midst of the journey. Do not become the Demas of your church and ministry. Amen. There are people who are given to you for life. God has called some of us to live and work together for the rest of our lives. There is a feeling of peace as you work with this permanent family. Sadly, there is a type of full-time minister who will abandon you midstream. After being in the ministry for some time, I can often see the type of person who will suddenly resign from the ministry. Hallelujah. I pray that that will not be your story in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You must learn to recognize people that God has given to be with you, to accompany you on your life's journey. Not everybody you meet is a temporary acquaintance. There are some people that are meant to be permanent parts of our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? For example, if you take a wife. See, a wife is not a temporary associate. You see what I'm saying? You're talking about someone that's going to be with you until you grow old. Do you understand? Recently, I was just thinking about something and just imagining, if I grow very old, I was just imagining what will it be like, me or her? Who's going to look older if you grow very old? You know, you were getting out of the bed, they would make sounds. Then you get out, and the other person will be getting off on the other side, also making her own kind of noises.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. But it's a blessing. Do you understand? How long do you think God has given you a brother for? How long is your brother supposed to be your brother? Yes. There are some people, you know, you go to school, you go to elementary school, and there's a class of about 30 people, and then you leave elementary school and you don't see any of them. Then you go to high school and you're with another group of people, and then you leave that group, you know, and you probably don't see most of them, or a couple of them may continue on with you. But after elementary school, you start to assemble your permanent crowd. The people you meet after elementary school most likely are the ones who will be at your funeral. Do you understand? Those people, they start to be with you, and you are now beginning to gather your permanent crowd. Do you understand? Learn to recognize the people that God has given you, people that God places in your life who play a permanent role. And when you identify such people, do not walk away from them. Amen. Do not walk away from them. People who start to become like family. They become your children's friends. Your children grow up together with them. You know, you must be careful how you handle such people. Hallelujah. Don't suddenly abandon such people. Don't suddenly leave. Amen. Even when you work in a place, you have to be careful how you just suddenly show up and just leave. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And you see that your employer is often as committed to you as you are to them. Yeah. Even sometimes when people are, part of the interview process is to assess how long you're going to be with them. Yeah. Yeah. When someone is interviewing you, they're chatting with you, but they're just trying to see all the open doors around you. Yeah. They're trying to understand your mind because the hiring process is expensive. You see what I'm saying? Some companies fly you over for interviews. They bring you, they keep you in a hotel for 2 days. They are not just going to blow money on someone who is just coming to walk around and just go away after 2 or 3 years. Even 2 or 3 years is a long time. And there are companies that make commitments, long-term commitments to people. Like, we're going to file your green card for you. We're going to do this. And everybody just wants to know, what are you going to give back to them for all of that? Do you see what I'm saying? And yet, you see a lot of people are there, but their mind is somewhere else. So an employer wants to know. So he will have you talk to different people. You see, today you go and talk to this person. It is only when you start working there that you realize this person you went to talk to, he was actually nobody. Yeah. He is the guy who just changes the water cooler, the water when it's empty. You get it? But that day they brought him to join the panel to talk to you, and you thought you were talking to a very important person. Yeah. They were just trying to see if different people can sort of get access to different parts of your mentality, just to see what exactly is in your mind. Do you understand? To understand the person, because everyone wants permanence. Everyone wants loyalty. Nobody wants someone who will suddenly abandon you. When you need him the most, when you're about to go do a presentation, that's when they turn in their resignation and tell you that, oh, by the way, today is my last day. Do you understand? And then you're just destroying everything. And every employer knows that he's at risk as he hires people. Do you see what I'm saying? And if you don't want it to be done to you, don't do it to others. Hallelujah. Nobody says that you will work where you work forever. But if you have to leave the place where you're working, understand that somebody is depending on you. Do you see what I'm saying? So try to leave the best way possible. Give as much notice as possible and let them know what you're doing, so that when you move on, perhaps one day you may even have to come back. Do you see? Yeah, because sometimes you leave this place and you think you're going here. When you go out there, you see the door is actually closed. When you come back, this one is also closed. You see? Yeah. It happens to me in this building. I go out like this. Then I think, oh, you know, I want to go drink some water or go to the restroom before I go home. Then I go here. And then I realize this one is closed. So then I run and I come back here. And when I get here, I realize this is also closed. Hallelujah. Employers are people. They are just ordinary human beings whom God has blessed with ideas and the ability to mobilize people to achieve those ideas. If we treat them well, one day you will also become an employer. Because whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So whatsoever a man did not sow, that shall he not reap. You see what I'm saying? So if you sow loyalty and commitment to people, you will also reap a harvest of loyalty and commitment. You will realize that as faithful as you are to people, they will also be faithful to you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't abandon people suddenly. Don't abandon the church suddenly. The church that has been a blessing to you, the church that prayed for you, the church that counseled you, the church that has taught you. Don't just wake up one day and just walk away from the church. Do you understand? A church that depends on you for singing and all the things you do in the church. I mean, you take someone like Ini. How can Ini just wake up one day and then suddenly she's no more? I mean, God forbid. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. All these people who do great things in the church, like Zola. You get, we'll just come to church one day. Just, Zola is no more. Where is she? She says she won't come to church anymore. We'll go and find her and use a tow truck to tow her. To tow the whole person into the church. Hallelujah. Yeah, but these people have become like brothers and sisters to us. You see what I'm saying? We cannot afford for them to walk away. That's why Paul put that thing in the scriptures. He said, Demas, he has just forsaken me. He's gone. I'm writing it here for everybody to see. Hallelujah. Having loved this present world, hallelujah, that will not be your story in the name of Jesus. You will not suddenly abandon anyone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But I love this number five, which is workers who refresh you. You know, people who refresh you. And this is where Onesiphorus is. This one is different from Onesimus. Right. When you are firstborn, it's Onesiphorus. If you are secondborn, Onesimus. Yeah. I think they are guys. So the firstborn's name is related to the secondborn's. You can just tell. Right. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Amen. The most refreshing people are those who are not ashamed of you. They love everything about you, including the unattractive parts. It is only the deepest kind of love that embraces everything, that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Such people are not serving you for money. They are there because of a very personal love for the leader. I always sense when people have a personal love for me. I also sense when they know I am not perfect, but they still love me. Every minister has a shameful chain around him. Not everyone who works in the ministry has this personal and permanent love. May you have the spirit of Onesiphorus. May you bring refreshing to the man of God has called you to. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Be a source of refreshing. Even I have people that I call, especially on Sunday evenings. Sunday evenings are, you know, when I'm taking it all down. Do you understand? I have some people that I like to call. I just like to just talk to them. You know, just people who refresh you. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody needs to have some people like that. Hallelujah. And I pray that God will make you someone who refreshes the people that you work for. Hallelujah. Someone who, if you were someone who would refresh your boss at work, you will find that he will start to deal with you, you know, not based on your performance per se, but you have a value that goes beyond what you do at work. Do you see what I'm saying? In every workplace, there's somebody who doesn't do a whole lot, but they never fire him. Do you know somebody like that? Have you seen that before? Yeah, you see that this person, he doesn't work much. Yes, he doesn't work much, but he's so well connected, and he's in every important conversation, he's in every important meeting, but in terms of work, he doesn't do much. You get it? But you see, there's a point when you start to realize that there is more to employment than what you actually do on with a pen and paper. Do you understand? You have a value that goes beyond what you actually do. Do you understand? There's a value that is attached to your person. Do you understand? There's some. I once read the story. No, I heard a message. A man was preaching and he was talking about a lady at his workplace. He's an employer. And he was talking, I think it was Mike Murdoch, who said that he used to have a lady at his workplace. She was not serious. And she was so disorganized. Do you understand? That she would just, everything was just messed up. So one day she messed up everything so bad. He got upset and got to the place and then fired the lady. Asked her never to come back to the place. So the lady left the place. He said the days following that firing, the office was like a funeral home. He said that when he would go there, he could sense that something was missing. Something was not quite. Everybody else was there. But it was like the light in the place had been turned off. You know, and so as he talked with the other people and so on, he began to realize that it was actually this other person, you know, who kept the office alive. Wow. She couldn't work herself, but she could inspire others to work. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So he said he sent for the lady, said she should come back. And then he doubled her pay. Wow. He said, you just be here. Yeah, just don't do anything. Just be here. You know, yeah, because now he began to see her real value, that her contribution to this place is not really the paper and pen, because this is, she couldn't organize anything, and everything you gave to her, she would just mess the whole thing up. She could not do anything, but she had a value, because when God creates people, there is no one who is useless. There is no creation of God that is useless. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, somebody was asking me, so what could, the person saw a roach, and the person was asking, why did God create this one? What could possibly be its use? You see, perhaps it's beyond our understanding. But there is no useless creation. Hallelujah. God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make any useless people. Everybody has a value before God. Amen. And it's great when you know what you're good at. Hallelujah. It's great when you know what exactly you add to the work. And there are some people, their work is just to bring refreshment. And they bring a refreshing atmosphere to the man of God. They bring encouragement. There's one day somebody was telling me about one brother. And he says, I like him because it looks like his eyes only see good things. Yeah. He says, even when I've preached and I've preached my worst sermon, when I meet this guy, I start to believe in the message I just preached. Because he only has eyes that can see good things. He says, I like him because of that. It's like he can, and you know, an employer has the power. He has the power to determine who he wants to employ and who he doesn't want to employ. And sometimes you see you may be better at doing something than another person, but you won't be chosen. Do you understand? The person prefers the other person because what the other person adds to what you do is actually more valuable to the person than what you bring. Hallelujah. So learn to be valuable to your employer. Learn to be a refreshing employee. Hallelujah. When you come around, everybody knows everything will be okay. Do you understand? When everybody is so negative, learn to speak a positive word. Learn to look at things from the positive side, because every negative thing has a positive side. Don't you think so? Every negative thing has a positive side to it. If you look at it properly, you start to see that, look, we can look at it from this angle also. So be that employee who always sees the good side of things and who always brings encouragement and who is a source of refreshing to the people that work. Workplaces can be very difficult. There can be a lot of stress and tension and politics, you know, and a lot of, you know, fighting, silent fighting among people, competition, and all kinds of things that make the place so toxic. How refreshing it is when you find somebody in that same environment who calms all these waves down. Somebody who makes everything into nothing. And someone who keeps us all encouraged and keeps us all motivated and keeps us all positive about what we do. Hallelujah. Let that person be you in the name of Jesus. I said, let that person be you in the name of Jesus. Instead of being the complaining person that always reminds us of what we are not doing well, be that person who will be an encouragement and who makes your boss proud of you. And you will see that your boss is just a human being. He's just a human being whose heart is touched and says, I want you. And you are in. That is it. Hallelujah. Well, I think our time is up. So we'll continue next week. Amen. Right. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. You're going to enjoy this book. I think it's a great, 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 great book that will teach you so many things about how to work for God and even for man. Amen. Bow your heads, everybody, and just pray for 2 minutes. Just pray that God will make you a refreshing worker. Just pray, everybody. Just say, Lord, make me one of those refreshing workers. Make me someone who will not suddenly abandon people who are depending on me. Help me to recognize the people to whom I owe my life, my existence, all this part of my life. Help me to become a son and a daughter, and help me to have the same spirit as the leader. In the name of Jesus. Just pray. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Moko shokotoli ala masandari ala babara babara babashundari ala babam. Make a mene mission elebele bele mekshatana bala babayam. Bikolo momo setele bele 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 bekandari ala baba. Makasatari ala babara mashandari ala babayam ala babara bala bashutari ala babaya. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. May we be the right workers. The right workers, the right workers. Give us the right spirit, O God. In the name of Jesus. Let your power come upon us, Lord. And make us who we need to be in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing today and thank you for everything we have learned. Perfect examples from the scriptures. Timotheus, Titus, Paul, Onesimus, Onesiphorus, and even Demas. These are all people that are in the scriptures for a reason. And Lord, thank you for opening our eyes to what they stand for. We pray, Lord, that in this church, people will work for you like they ought in the name of Jesus. May we work like sons and daughters. May we work with the same spirit as the leader. May we be workers who are not ashamed to acknowledge the people to whom we owe our lives. The people you have used to bless us. The people you have used to give us jobs. The people you have used to give us houses. The people you have used to give us cars, to give us different blessings in our lives, Lord. May we not be ashamed to acknowledge them in the name of Jesus. We pray also, Lord, that the spirit that makes people abandon others suddenly will not have dominion over us in the name of Jesus. The spirit of Demas will not have dominion and will not have its place among us in the name of Jesus. And we pray for a refreshing spirit. We pray for a refreshing attitude. We pray that we will not be a source of discouragement. At the workplace, Lord, teach us to have the right perspective. Teach us to see as you see. Help us to see our employers not as enemies, but also people that you have used to bless our lives. In the name of Jesus, help us to be humble. Help us to be humble. Help us not to be proud. Not in pride, to walk away from places you have appointed for us. When we should have humbled ourselves to remain, Lord, help us not to be proud and to walk away in such pride. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the jobs we have, the employers you have given us. In the name of Jesus, bless us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Preserve us, Lord, in the blessing that you have appointed for us. Thank you, Lord, for our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Right. Now let's receive communion this afternoon. Father, we thank you for the bread, which is your body broken for us. Thank you for the blood, which is your life laid down for us. The Bible says the life of a thing is in the blood. As we drink the blood today, we confess that we drink life. We receive life. We receive an infusion of life in the name of Jesus to replace any death lurking around us. Anything whose ultimate effect is to cause death, let the death in it die and perish in the name of Jesus. Let it be replaced by life. We speak to diseases. We speak to spots. We speak to tumors. We speak to growths. We speak to our internal organs. We speak to our body parts, Lord. And we declare a perfect and normal functioning as we drink life into ourselves this afternoon in the name of Jesus. This will not be communion as usual, but let there be life. Let the power of God accompany these elements, transform them into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. That as we eat and drink, we will eat his body, eat his flesh, and drink his blood in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Just take the bread. This is the body of Jesus Christ, which is broken for us. Amen. Say the body of Jesus Christ.
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 The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat. Take the wine also. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. I think she's having some difficulty. You opened it. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. See, this is life. This is life. Amen. Drink it as it's a kind of spiritual antibiotic that is going to fight every disease in your body. Anything that causes death within you, any activity going on within your system that is intended to take you out, this is going to kill it in the name of Jesus. Jesus defeated death itself. Hallelujah. And he still has victory over death today. So take this in faith. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Drink to the last drop because it is a dosage of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord preserve your going out and your coming in.
Amen.
May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord smile upon your life. Smile upon your family. May the Lord preserve you. May his blessing be upon you. May his name be upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, let no weapon formed against you prosper. Let no tongue that rises up against you prevail in the name of Jesus. That God will keep you and preserve you a people unto himself. May you be the apple of God's eye. May you remain the apple of God's eye. In the name of Jesus. May his blessings find you always. May they come upon you. May they overtake you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.